There's just too much proof in my life. Oh, Lord, I know it's you. And every mountain that you move, oh, I love the way that you do the things you do. No one can deny what I've seen with my own eyes. So I thank you for every miracle.
Today we are beginning a new series and really believing God for a new season. I'm calling it Victory 2020. About 3 months ago, I was praying about this year, and God really gave me this word for the new year, a year of victory. Actually, I'm driving to the staff calendar planning meeting where we plan ahead for the year. And as I was driving here, driving to this place where we're having this meeting, this song came on the radio, Sea of Victory. And I said, that's my theme song. I'm going to sing that a lot. I'm going to see a victory in 2020. Amen. This past year for a lot of people has been challenging. I lost track of the number of people who said on social media in the last couple of weeks. It started out with 2019 was a hard year. A lot of people saw spiritual warfare increase. A lot of us walk through valleys and difficult times. And so that's why I know that this is not just for me. This is for everybody. That God has a word. God has victory for us. Matter of fact, in the middle of last year in the summer, I got a Facebook message from a friend of mine, a ministry friend. He had gone on a missions trip with me to China a couple of years ago, and he served on one of the boards that I serve on. And he reached out to me. He said, hey, you've been on my heart, and just for some reason, and I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And how many know I like getting those, right? Somebody's praying for me? I like that a lot. So I reached out to him, and I just said, hey, thanks, you know, for that, and he said, hey, what's going on? And so I just told him a little bit of stuff, you know, what's going on in my life, and, you know, some difficulties, some challenges. He goes, you know, I can't tell you how many of my pastor friends are telling me a similar story, that this year is just really, really hard. And so he said, here's what I've been telling every pastor I talk to. He said, you should be praying more than you're planning. And that was just one of those moments where that was just like an arrow through my heart. I'm like, that's it. And our staff will tell you that after that point, we do a lot of planning around here and we do a lot of praying, but we just shifted our schedules a little bit more and we didn't have a meeting that we didn't pray. A lot of meetings started with a lot of prayer and we started to pray more than we planned. And so that's really the seeds of this message and this season that we're going to be here in today. And so, see, Pastor, why do we need victory? Well, the reality is we need victory because we're in a fight. Are you aware that you're in a fight? The minute you begin to follow Jesus, you've stepped into a war between good and evil, a war between God and the devil, a war between heaven and hell. Paul put it this way. I wish you could do that the whole time, but that'll wear you out. I'll give you a break till you come back. That's all right. Give it up for Pastor Steve. Thank you so much. I know you could sing that song the whole time. That was really good. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Now, I want you to notice, Paul says that we have a struggle. There's a war going on. Matter of fact, that original word for struggle is translated in one translation, wrestle. We're wrestling. Another one says we're fighting. Another one says we're in a conflict. Another one just says, hey, this is a war that's going on in the spiritual realm. Every one of us are in a fight of our lives. We have a real enemy. You have a real enemy. And his goal is to destroy you. His goal is to destroy everything that you love, to destroy your family. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your peace. He wants to steal your peace of mind. Are you getting this here today? That's who he is, and that he want, that's what he wants to do. And some of us will testify that's what he has been doing in our lives. We've been battling in our thoughts, in our minds, in our hearts, in our homes, in our finances, in our health. And there's just this war that's going on, and we need victory in our lives. And so I like the way the Message paraphrase puts these same verses. It says, God is strong, and he wants you strong. I like it already. God is strong, unless you've forgotten, and he wants you strong. So take everything the master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them on and put them to use, so you will be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. Basically, the scripture saying, yes, there's a fight, but there's some weapons that God's going to give you so that you can win. Right? And he says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away and forget about in a couple hours. That's why I like to paraphrase sometimes. That's just really good. He said, this is not the Pacers or the Colts or whatever team you like. You know, they won, they lost. You'll forget about it in a couple hours. Let's talk about next season. He goes, that's not that. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. That's real. You and I are in a fight. It's not a game. And as we enter into this year, God spoke to me, and I believe he's already spoken to many of you. And if he hasn't yet, I'm believing today he's going to speak to you. That he is a God of victory, and he wants you to walk in victory. Let me say this real clear. He did not create you to be defeated. To live in defeat, to accept defeat. It's always going to be like this. I'm always, no. He's a God of victory. And he says, I've given you some weapons that you can use to win. Am I in the right church today? Matter of fact, last Sunday, Tracy and I did just a simple Bible study on the word victory. There's a lot of verses, but let me show you a few that we found. Deuteronomy 20, verse 4. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. Joshua chapter 10, verse 8, don't be afraid. I have already given you the victory. Anybody receive that today? And then Psalm 44, verse 6, I don't put my trust in my bow or my sword. And I think it was the 21st century, and he was writing that, or my guns. But you give us victory over our enemies. You put our adversaries to shame. And this is our theme verse for this series and probably for the whole year. I want you to go ahead and say this with me if you don't mind. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's word. That's God's will for you and me. Amen. Here's the problem. Victory doesn't come without a fight. Victory doesn't come without a fight. This is not church, and religious activity is not a game. This is life and death. People are dying. People are wrestling with life and death. And we need to be ready. God says, I'm going to give you some weapons that are going to help you win because I've called you to victory. And one of the most powerful weapons that God has given us against the enemy is prayer and fasting. Not too many amens right there. Pastor, do you enjoy fasting? No, I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I'm drinking my coffee this morning thinking I'm not going to see you for a long time. 21 days. I'm just being honest with you. No, none of you feel that way. You're very spiritual. I'm very carnal. I'm sorry. But let's talk about fasting for a minute, because I know a lot of you have never fasted before. You've never been in a church that's talked about fasting before. Pastor Brian did an awesome job last Sunday talking about this. And so if you have a lot of questions, watch that message. It'll really, really help you. But just simple biblical fasting is refraining from food for a spiritual purpose. Okay, it's not Lent. We're not giving up something for Lent. That's not what this is. It's not a hunger strike. God, I'm going to go without food until you give me what you want. That is not That is not fasting at all. It's for a spiritual purpose, okay? We're trying to disconnect from the world so that we can connect to God. Are you hearing me here today? Because let me go ahead and put it to you this way. Fasting's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And Jesus is the one who gives us the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through fasting. No, through the Lord Jesus Christ. Fasting just helps Jesus get more of me in my life. And when he shows up in me, he gives me victory. I'm preaching better than your amen here today. And so let me encourage you. This is why we are asking everybody to participate in 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so today is day one of these 21 days, but fasting will begin tomorrow, okay? Now, we're not just fasting, but we're praying. So for the next 21 days, every weekday, we're having prayer services here in the worship center, 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And then on Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., 1 hour, we'll start on time, we'll end on time. If you got to work, you got to go to school, you got plenty of time to get to those places. Somebody asked me after the first service, hey, Pastor, I got to be at work at 7. Can I come for the first 30 minutes? Absolutely, do it. You know, so let me just encourage you. You say, Pastor, that is going to inconvenience my schedule. I know. Some of you don't even know that God is awake at 6 a.m. You know, and I just want to encourage you to do whatever you can. And let me just challenge you that that the Holy Spirit is awake at 6 a.m. All right. And you're going to enjoy the way that we pray. And so I want to encourage everybody to be part of it. So everybody, matter of fact, when you leave today, we're going to give you a copy of this prayer book. This is our most recent copy. It's just called My Prayer Book. And what I've done is I've just gathered and created some of these prayer models to learn how to pray. Some of you are like, I don't even know how to pray. This book will teach you how to pray according to God's word. Our kids pastor, Pastor Allison, has put together an incredible resources for elementary kids. 21 Days of Prayer for Grace Kids. It is a powerful discipleship experience for your kids. And so they're going to be receiving this free today. If you've got kids or grandkids, how many would like your kids to grow up to be boys and girls, men and women of prayer? Yes, please. All right. Here it is right here. She's created a resource just for you. And parents, I just want to encourage you to participate in some way. Now, let's just talk through this just a little bit because I know Fasting. Because immediately you say, Pastor, what are the rules? I need to know the rules, okay? I'm asking everybody to participate in some way, okay? Now, there's a full fast, which is water and juices. That's what we call a full fast. By the way, I've fleshed this out a lot in your message notes. There's a partial fast. Daniel fast is part of a partial fast. And so we've done that around here a lot. And then there's a soul fast, and that is media, screens, and devices, and things like that. Some of you might want to do something else, okay? And again, I just want you to check this out. Now, I want you to do something that is a sacrifice. Matter of fact, the word fasting means affliction of the soul. It's supposed to not be enjoyable, okay? And so if you've never fasted before, you probably don't want to do the full 21 days full fast. You might, I'm not saying don't, but I'm saying you got to be careful you don't set yourself up for failure. You know, for some of you, the Daniel fast, is that would be the most radical thing you've ever done. We honor that. Do it, okay? For some of you, a partial fast, maybe sun up to sun down or some fast, certain meals a day, that's all you can do. That's okay, all right? Some of you, you're like, you've done this for a while, and let's just be honest, you need to take it a step farther and give the full fast a try. You won't be alone. And let's believe God for miracles. Let's believe God for victory. Three people said amen. Imagine, I always, whenever I start teaching about fasting, was it this quiet last Sunday? Probably was. It's all right. And say, Pastor, okay, let's talk about why this is important, okay? Why is fasting and prayer a weapon to win? Write this down. Fasting with prayer breaks things. Fasting with prayer breaks things. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story where Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, And he's up on this mountain. And remember, Moses and Elijah come down from heaven to visit Jesus. Peter says, hey, let's build 3 tabernacles. Let's stay right here, Jesus. Let's not go back down the mountain where the rest of those people and the problems are. Let's stay right here. And Jesus says, no. And so they go down the mountain. And when they come down the mountain, they come upon this problem. This man had a son who was demon-possessed. And he had a spirit of suicide, a spirit of death. He would foam up the mouth, gnash at his teeth, and his body would become rigid like he was dead. And so he comes upon Jesus, who just comes down from the mountain, and says, Jesus, my son is demon-possessed, and I brought him to you disciples, but they couldn't cast the demon out. Now, that's interesting because Jesus had already given his disciples authority to cast out devils. And you're going to see a little bit in this story, the disciples were pretty perplexed why their prayers weren't working. So let's pick up the story here in verse 20. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the boy saw Jesus, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. I want you to see and feel the desperation in this dad's voice. Jesus, we've tried everything. Jesus, we prayed. We have tried. We even brought him to your disciples and they prayed and we don't see victory yet in his life. And let me pause for a second and say, there's a lot of you that know how this dad felt because you're in the same situation. Jesus, I pray. I've asked. I wrote it down on the connection card. Pray for me, pray for me. And yet I don't see victory yet. And for those of you today, I've got a word from you because I think what Jesus would say to you is the same thing he said to them that day. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And somebody needs to receive that here today, that with God, nothing is impossible. Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and say that for some of you, your season is about to end. Your season of difficulty, your season of trouble, your season of heartache and heaviness, God is saying, I'm going to bring you victory because there is nothing that is impossible with God. So when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out and enter him no more. And the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him, which means the devil's the queen of drama, but that's another story. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples said, okay, Jesus, that was awesome. You cast the devil out, but we don't understand. We prayed for that boy to be cast out. Remember, you gave us authority to trample on demons and scorpions. You gave us authority. What happened? Why could we not cast it out? And Jesus replied, he said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. Now watch this. Jesus said there's prayer, and then there's prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting, this is Jesus, not me, is saying that with prayer and fasting, nothing is impossible. Fasting combined with prayer breaks things. It breaks bad habits. It can break addictions. It can break demonic strongholds. It can break wrong patterns of thinking. Fasting combined with prayer breaks things. Are you with me? I was reminded of this, of the power of prayer and fasting a few weeks ago when I visited East Africa in early November. While I was in East Africa, we visited a pastor and his family on the island of Zanzibar. I think there are pictures behind me. This is Pastor Winga, his wife, and his 3 kids. And so Winga told us his story. This was through a translator. He said that he was born on the island of Zanzibar. By the way, the island is 95% Muslim. So it was pretty much a miracle that he was saved. He goes to Tanzania, where there are millions of believers, to Bible college, trained for ministry, plants a church, church grows. The superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Tanzania says, Winga, I'd like you to go back to Zanzibar and plant a church. Winga said, no. He said, Zanzibar is a hard place. It's a dominant Muslim country. Christians are harshly persecuted. It's a very, very tough place. It's a dark place. But his wife says, you should pray. And so they pray, and he said yes. They went to Zanzibar to start the church. So they find a piece of property. They're probably about a five-minute walk from the ocean, very rural, kind of like in the bush there. And so they build this verse, very simple, very rudimentary structure, but Muslim extremists burn the church down. He builds the church again. They come and burn it down. He builds the church a third time. They come back, they burn it down. And the people who had started coming to the church were very intimidated and stopped coming because they were afraid. And so Wingo, well, matter of fact, he would go to the ocean, gather up rocks, big rocks, and he would put them on the property and people would come and steal them. So he decided to start sleeping on the property to protect from thieves. So his wife encouraged him. He said, we should fast and pray. And so he said, I fasted sun up to sundown for 130 days. That's what I said. Wow. Sun up to sundown for 130 days. And he says, and while I was praying and fasting, I was still sleeping on the grounds of the church. And remember, this is open air. Okay, so he's sleeping outside where the church property was. He says, I woke up one morning, and to my left, just outside the church property, there was a witch doctor staring at me. And he goes, and so I was staring at him, he was staring at me, but the witch doctor was frozen. And the Holy Spirit said, this is Wingo's words, he says, the Holy Spirit said to me that he can't leave until you give him permission to leave. And so Wingo said, you can go, and he left. And this happened three times while he was praying and fasting. And these are his words, and matter of fact, when he said the words, matter of fact, let me go ahead and tell you, if I wasn't present to hear this story myself, I would not be telling you this story because it's really, it's a little cray-cray. This is difficult for our American mind to comprehend. But he said, when he was telling the story about the witch doctor, when he woke up and saw it, he said, the witch doctor fell down. I'm like, fell down? What does that mean? And so anyway, story's over. We're in the cars with the missionaries. The missionaries explain it to us. He goes, you don't realize Zanzibarians believe that witch doctors can fly. And that they fly in the sky at night doing their evil deeds. And so Wingo was saying that they were flying over the church and they fell down. And when they fell down, they were frozen. And they couldn't move until Wingo gave them permission to leave. Yeah. Now remember, this is an island that is filled with occultic activity. Matter of fact, one of the missionaries told us that people travel from Haiti to this island to learn about witchcraft. That ought to tell you how dark this place is. Now, and I learned later from some of the missionaries that they have heard stories of witch doctors who fell to the ground with burn marks on their bodies because there was a wall of fire above these churches that extended to the sky. Now, I don't know if there's a box in my mind for flying witch doctors. It really doesn't jive with my Western American mindset. And really, that's not the point, is it? The point is when we fast and pray, God breaks the power of darkness. And those powers of darkness are subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, this kind will come out through prayer and fasting. Are you getting this here today? Fasting breaks things. Whatever it is, whatever darkness is coming against you, whatever power is coming against you, fasting and prayer will break it because of Jesus Christ. By the way, one of our Kingdom Builder projects for 2020 is to build Wingo a church that they can't burn down and a house for his family. If you believe that's a good idea, don't say amen. Give the Kingdom Builders is what I'm saying. Second reason fasting and prayer is so important because it opens things. Fasting and prayer opens things. Acts chapter 10, Peter, this is the New Testament, goes up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and he wanted to eat. So Peter is fasting and praying. Pastor, how do you know he was fasting? Right here. He was very hungry. A lot of us were about to be very hungry. All right? But Peter, watch, he's praying and fasting, and look what happened. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and he saw heaven opened. So he's fasting and praying. Remember, Peter's about to enter into something that he had never known before, something he'd never seen before, and God opens the heavens and gives him this incredible revelation. You see, this is important because, remember, we started with Ephesians chapter 6. Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where? In the heavenly places. See, if we had spiritual glasses today to see into the heavens, to see into the atmosphere, we would see darkness, we would see light. We would see demons, we would see angels. We would see spirits of hell, we would see spirits of heaven contending for you, for your home, for your family, for this church. They're fighting over this service right now. That's what Paul says, in the heavenly places. And so there's a war in the heavenlies right now. And so have you ever taken off on a plane on a cloudy day, or even if it was raining, and then you go up in the plane and you break through the clouds and you realize the sun's actually shining above the clouds. Now the people on the ground, you can't feel the sun, you can't see the sun. Why? Because the clouds are covering up the sun, but the sun is still shining. I want you to think of those clouds as spiritual forces in the heavenlies trying to block what God wants for us, trying to block his peace, trying to block us from having favor, trying to block us from having victory in our lives and healing and joy. And so what we need the heavens to open. We need the clouds to break so that the Son of God can shine through the clouds. And the Bible says one of the ways that we can open up the heavens and for the clouds to break is through fasting and prayer. If you need revelation, if you need direction about the future, if you need just the gloom and doom of this present world to go away, we should fast and pray. Because the scripture says that his intent, God's intent, was that now through the church, you are the church. Through you, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities where? Paul says there's a heavenly realm, there's a fight going on in the heavenly realm, and God's plan is for you and me in the church to make known to the heavenly realms the will of God. We're supposed to pray about the heavens. We're supposed to speak to those spiritual powers and believe God to open it up. Somebody say amen. Amen. This past, on this trip to Africa, I had the privilege to preach in Zanzibar City Church. And I'm just going to tell you, it was like heaven on earth. And I brought a few of my video clips to show you, just give you a picture of what worship was like in that service. Watch this. Just want to start. Do you feel that? Now, it's a large church filled with joy, so much freedom to worship, but this is the same country that Wingus Church is in. 95% Muslim, Christians severely persecuted. they're surrounded. This church is surrounded by Muslim squatters. Matter of fact, a few years ago, Islamic extremists broke into the church. They couldn't burn it down because it was made of cinder block. But they gathered up all the furniture in the middle of the church and burned it. They were looking for the pastor to kill him, but he was able to hide, and they went away. In the middle of all of that, how does a church grow that large? How do people have so much joy in their lives? Oh, by the way, they fast and pray the last 3 days of every month as a church. And the result of fasting and prayer is an open heaven. Joy, even in the middle of tough times. Peace, hope, expectation, freedom. People who have victory, even though they are surrounded by difficulty. Do you receive this here today? If you feel oppressed or surrounded or overtaken or intimidated, fast and pray and watch the heavens open and the joy of the Lord to overtake you. Come on, somebody. You might live in a difficult place. You might work in a difficult place. But through prayer and fasting, God can give you the oil of joy instead of the spirit of heaviness. You can live in victory right in the middle of the devil's playground. Come on, somebody. If we will fast and pray, God will open up the heavens. That's what he does. Last thing, fasting with prayer frees things. When we fast and we pray, things get free. In Isaiah chapter 58, is this not the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains, to untie the cords, and to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. I want you to see right here that one of the purposes of fasting is to set things free, is to set people free, is to break chains off of people, is to break things off of our lives. And I think one of the reasons we don't have victory in our lives is because we're so bound up. It's like our hands are tied. It's like our legs are surrounded with cords and everything's a struggle. Everything's harder than it should be. Does that witness to anybody here today? But when we fast and we pray, it frees us from those things to receive God's best in our lives, and it releases us to experience the blessing and the favor and the goodness of God in our lives. Pastor Jennison Franklin wrote in his book that the discipline of fasting releases the anointing, the favor, and the blessing of God in the life of a Christian. You say, Pastor, how can you preach this with such, you're so adamant about this. You sound serious. I am very serious. And one of the reasons is because this is our church's story. Tracy and I accepted the invitation to be the pastor of this church in April of 1997. Now, a little bit of a backstory. We were youth pastors at the time in Logansport, Indiana, and so this church had it had grown small. That sounds weird to say grown small. It had gone through, it was about 20, 25 years old, but it had a lot of difficulty in the past. Now, they had some great pastors and some great people, but there was a history of church splits. As a matter of fact, the pastor that I followed when we came here had a moral failure right before we came. So it was pretty difficult. And that's why the superintendent, when he called us to ask us if we wanted to take this church, he says it has a lot of potential. Now, what he was saying was, here you got 8 acres of property on a major highway in a suburb of a large city here in America. But for some reason, when he said the word potential, I dug a little bit. I started asking some people, and I started to find out what I just told you, that there was just this great people, great pastors, but just difficulty. It wasn't seeing its potential. Now, when Tracy and I came to even look at the building and meet the people, we knew from the get-go this was God's plan for us. This was God's will for us. And this was 22 years ago. And so I'm cleaning out the office of the previous pastor, and I came across some building plans where he had hired an architect or builder to draw future plans for the building. Now, I paused for a second because something dawned on me. That every pastor before me had the same dream that I did, had the same expectation. God was going to do something in this city. God was going to do something great. And yet, none of them had seen it come to pass. And again, I'm just being real with you. It scared me. about that time, somebody gave me a book from Pastor Bob Rogers called 101 Reasons to Fast. And in that book, he tells the story of his church in Louisville, Kentucky. When he was called to his church, it too had fallen on hard times. They were having financial difficulty. There was lots of disunity. There was gossip. There was division, all kinds of bad. It's not exactly the poster child for the church you want to go pastor. But he called everybody to fast and pray the first 3 days of every month. And his testimony is that things didn't happen overnight, but over time, within that first year, they start to see miracles happen. People started getting healed of all kinds of sicknesses. Financial miracles started to happen. And then there was unity instead of division in the house of God. And now it's one of the great churches in America. I'm reading that book going, I think we should fast and pray. And so we did. So January of 1998, we did our first 21 days of fasting and prayer. So this is not some new idea that we came up with 2 days ago. We've been doing some sort of fasting every year since we've been the pastors here. And so I think everybody participated in 21 days, but then we also fasted every Tuesday that year corporately. So at the end of the year, we counted it up. We had fasted, I believe it was 52 days corporately. And then in January 21st of 1999, this happened. Lightning struck our church building and burned it. Now, this picture was from a few days later when the Greenwood Fire Department asked to use it to burn it down as an exercise for firefighters, and so we did that. I didn't have my cell phone at the time because I think I had like a flip phone or whatever, but anyway. So this is the picture of that. So a lot of questions after that happened. Was it an act of God? Was it an act of devil? Act of the devil? Was it just a random accident? After all, you know, lightning hits stuff. Whatever. Word began to spread to some of the people who used to attend this church, Sunday school teachers, board members. And, you know, they had invested a lot of their lives. They had walked the property to pray. And so they wanted, some of them wanted to come by and see it, and they did. One of them relayed a story to one of our existing members at the time who relayed the story to me. And they said, years ago when I was walking this property, the property that you and I are sitting on here today, she said, God gave me a vision. And in the vision, there was a snake wrapped around this church. And it was squeezing the life out of this church. But in that same vision, I saw fire. She said, fire come down from the sky and strike the snake and destroyed the snake. And she said, when I came here and I saw that the church had been burned, I realized that God had brought my vision to pass. Now, that might be right up there with flying witch doctors for some of you. But all I know is that when we finally did build the new building afterwards, and it took a little under 2 years, things began to happen, good things. Matter of fact, 1 year, we tripled in attendance. And we saw God do amazing things, healings, salvation, miracle offerings, amazing stuff. Pastor, why are you telling this? Because I'm trying to tell you that fasting and prayer breaks things. Fasting and prayer frees things. Fasting and prayer opens things. See, and God wants you and I to be free. God wants the heavens opened over your house, opened over this church, opened over your workplace. Come on, somebody. God wants to break things off of your life. Harsh words, the past, whatever it is, God wants to do that. Some of you just need victory in your life. And let me remind you that fasting is not, let me put it to you this way, that fasting disconnects us from the world, but prayer connects us to God. So fasting's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Please get that. All right? Jesus is the victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, not through fasting. Fasting is one weapon, one means to get Jesus into the situation so that he can do what he does. And what does Jesus do? If you don't know, here's what he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. God sent Jesus to destroy the works of the devil. God did not send Jesus to hold him back and try to make it better. No, God sent Jesus to break the back of the enemy and destroy the works of darkness. It's a fight. It's a war. But God is a God of victory. And if you're part of his family, you're his sons and daughters. He has given you victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving us weapons to win if we will fight. So I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think and consider how you're going to participate in these next 21 days of fasting and prayer. And I'm going to be a little strong. Is that okay? Pastor, you're not strong already? No. How bad do you want to see victory? If you're tired of being tired, sick of being sick, how bad do you want to see it? Some of you are like that dude's dad. Jesus, I've been praying a long time. I've prayed, I've asked other people to pray, and I don't see it yet. I don't see victory yet. Jesus said, this kind, that's prayer and fasting. So I'm going to ask you to stretch yourself. I'm going to ask you to do more than you think you can do. I've got lots of guidelines and instructions in your message notes to consider when fasting. Our website, graceassembly.org/21days, has lots of articles and videos. If you just want to learn and grow about fasting, there's lots of things to learn about it. But the reality is that if we'll fast and pray, God will give us the victory. So I want you to think about what areas of your life that you need victory in today. Some of you need victory in your family. You might need victory where you work. Some of your businesses need victory. Your marriage needs victory. Some of you need the enemy to stop tormenting your mind. Some of you, your kids, your grandkids are on a dangerous path. They're walking away from the Lord, and somebody's got to get in their way. Are you hearing me? Some of us need victory over habits and addictions. You might need victory over fear or anxiety or worry. I don't know what it is. But I want you to begin to think about and take a moment right now on your card. I want you to write down how you're going to participate in these 21 days, how you're going to fast. And I want you to write down, what's that number one thing that you're praying about? What's that prayer focus that you're praying about? Okay? Now, here's what's going to happen. Beginning tomorrow morning, we're going to pray from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And you already see the cards that are up here from the 9 o'clock service. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come and bring those cards. And we're going to pray every day over these cards. But beginning tomorrow, we're going to come together and we're going to pray 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. And again, I'm looking for hundreds of people to join me. Okay? Hundreds of people to join me as we fast and we pray together. So here's what I like to do. When you're done and you're ready, I want you to bring your card to the front and I want you to lay it on the altar. But I want you to stay up here, okay? Because we're all going to pray together. I want to commission you because today is day one. Fasting begins tomorrow, but today is day one of 21 days of prayer. Victory 2020. It begins right now with our decision that we're going to come to the Lord and we're going to believe God's word. Amen. So take a moment, fill that out. When you're ready, I want you to bring it to the altar. Lay it on the altar. I want you to stay up here. Matter of fact, you're going to need to press in close when you come so everybody can have room. Amen. Let's sing.
I'm going to seek your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm going to seek your victory. I'm going to seek your victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm gonna see your victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see your victory. I'm I'm gonna sing your victory.
I'd like to ask everybody to stand regardless of where you're at. Let's all stand together. Let's begin this 21 days with prayer for victory. Amen. And I know this might be corny to you, but I think it's important. You know what the victory sign is, right? Would you raise both hands to heaven? Jesus, you're our victory. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We raise our hands in victory because you're a God of victory. You're a God who is able to do the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. So, Lord God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we pray that you would break every spirit of hell that has come against me and my family in the name of Jesus. Break the spirits of darkness that are working against me. And God, I pray that you would free me, that I would walk in the favor and the blessing under an open heaven in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, mighty God, that you would loose the ties off of my life, loose the cords, break the chains, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be freedom in my house. Let there be freedom in my life. Let there be freedom in my thoughts. Let there be freedom in my family. Let there be freedom in this church. And let there be freedom in this country, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Now, listen, listen. Not only are we going to fast and pray the first 21 days of this year, but we're going to fast and pray the first Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of each month this year. Okay? You guys, can you bring that down a little bit? You guys should talk to the 9 o'clock service because they didn't react like that when I said that. We're not going to do this every year. We always do the 21 days, but we're not going to do the first 3 days every year. But there is a... there's a sense in my spirit that this year is very different. There's a crossroads. It truly is life or death. Not just for many of us, but for our country. And the scariest verse in the Bible for this country is that a house divided against itself cannot stand. And so we're going to pray the first, and then every time, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's going to end with the first Wednesday service, and then we'll break the fast after every first Wednesday service. But we're believing that every first Wednesday this year is going to be a Wednesday of miracles, a Wednesday of power, a Wednesday of freedom. Amen? So let me encourage you. 21 days is a long time to fast. It really is. So some of you are going to have good days. Some of you are going to have some tough days. Some of you are going to feel like quitting. Some of you are going to quit. But when you do, just start back up again, all right? Let's just do this, man. And and as much as you can, be here for these prayer services every day in these 21 days. Our prayer focus is going to be an area of victory. Okay, so we're going to pray for victory in families one day. We're going to pray for victory in our minds one day. We're going to pray for victory over addictions one day. Are you getting this? And so every day is going to have a particular theme. And some of you are going to want to reach out to people and say, hey, day 20, we're praying over this, and that's you. So I want you to pray with me. Are you hearing me? Because this is going to reach out to a lot of different people. Are you ready? I'm proud of you for saying yes. I'm so proud of you. Because you recognize what I recognize, that God's a God of victory, and this is time. So may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now before you go, make sure you leave that card here on the altar so we can pray over it with you beginning tomorrow. Go with God. We love you very much.